Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One.
Hi, this is Ben Domenech, the host of the Federalist Radio Hour. We're a daily show coming to you 5 days a week from Washington, D.C., where we interview our nation's top journalists, politicians, authors, chefs, economists, entertainers, and more. If you're looking for a contrarian discussion on news, politics, or culture, give us a listen and subscribe at PodcastOne.com, the new Podcast One app, or at Apple Podcasts.
This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. The choice we got on Monday. Get on. Welcome to the best hour in the universe. It is Reasonable Doubt. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Mark Garagus in person, man.
In person. I'm here. I'm back.
I love Mark Garagus in person. He's great on the phone, but he's better in person.
I like being here in person. But as I walked in here, I will tell this. I won't get into all of it because we'll get slammed, and my own daughter will slam me. But I was having a conversation. Adam was listening to it with a three female lawyers, and the two of the three are big firm lawyers, which is a special breed. Mm-hmm. And Adam could see my frustration, and I finally said, can we just go do Reasonable Doubt? I can't take another minute of these women because there's no logic. There was no logic. There was no rationality. The blood pressure was just raising because every time I make a point, it was met by no. And I said, well, then explain it to me. Make me understand. Give me the reason. I'll go back to my client. And it was no, this is the way it's going to be.
Well, it's interesting. I've been really drilling down on this. And what I've come to the conclusion, I wrote a book called In 50 Years We'll All Be Chicks. That was about 7 years ago.
Yeah, you were so wrong.
I was so off.
So off.
Off by 43 years. Number one. Number two.
2018 is the year of the woman.
I've always talked to Drew about this. And Drew has always said, women, we should be trying to move their direction. Their direction is sort of the light, meaning you take a relationship. What do we want to do? We want to conk women over the head and drag them to our cave. What do the women want to do? They want us to stay in and raise the children and provide and whatever. And Drew always said that's the direction we should be moving, that where the women are is a more enlightened world.
Right.
And he's right.
There's less violence.
There's less everything that's bad.
Right.
But there is some downside.
There is a downside.
And the downside.
And we're going to see it.
And women, the downside is women think more emotionally, speak more emotionally. They feel. They have feelings. Mm-hmm. And the feelings. And it's why Lynette's a better mother than I am, a better parent than I am, because she has this empathy. She has all these feelings.
It's why kids, I guess, traditionally, whenever they're hurt or in pain, they don't scream, I want dad.
Right. But if you take an entire society and you shift it that direction into the feelings world, I was watching the Gold Globes the other night. I pointed this out on ACS. This Oprah or Laura Dern or whoever going, you must speak your truth if you're a victim. No, speak the truth, your truth.
No,
your truth gets people put in jail who don't need to be in jail. The truth keeps people out of jail. There's not your truth. Stop speaking your truth. Mark Garagus, as a lawyer, does not want to hear people speaking their truth. He wants the truth.
By the way,
not your version of truth.
When you take the oath before you get in the witness stand, it's not to tell your truth and only your truth. Okay?
Right.
There's a different oath.
Yes, so it's the truth. And we replaced, I feel. So once you're feeling something, once you're speaking your truth, then we got a problem with accuracy. And then I realized this. Back in the day, women gossiped, and men, it was considered beneath you to gossip. Now, one could argue better to gossip than to settle it with pistols or fists.
Right.
That's a fair argument. But as much as guys wanted to gossip, they would simply say good day and take another hit of snuff and have their cape swing around and say you'll be visited by my seconds and things of that nature. But women tended to gossip and men tended to look at that as beneath them. We're not going to sit around and gossip. Now, I was forming this thought earlier today. We're pulling hard toward the estrogen side of the fork of the road. So men are essentially becoming women. And we have this new technology for gossiping. It's called Twitter. It's called the internet. Right. It's called social blogs. Media. It's called social media. So not only do we have everyone now gossiping, where in the past it was a percentage of women would gossip.
Oh, God.
And a very small percentage.
Guys have taken that over with a vengeance.
Right. Not only do we have gossiping, but we've weaponized the gossiping with this technology, and now it's just on.
Yeah.
And
that's a free-for-all.
That's the time we're living in.
Yeah. And I just wonder how long before the pendulum, what it's going to take for the pendulum to swing back on a lot of this stuff, because the idea, I mean, look, nobody can say that men haven't completely screwed up in 1,000 different areas. But at a certain point, you know, when you go into a courtroom, at least when I go into a courtroom, all I ever ask for is, let me make an argument. Let me make an argument based on the law. And infused with due process, which is just due process, the easiest way to say it, I always explain to jurors, due process is nothing more than fair. It's just what's fair. It's, you know, it's kind of like the due process is I wanted to get a fair hearing. I want a judge who's going to call balls and strikes, as they say. And that's it. And it's so frustrating. It's become so frustrating to practice law because so many people, whether it's judges or arbitrators, are carrying water for the, you know, some particular agenda or some particular ideology. And that's not supposed to be ideally what the law is.
I had the it's a weird thing that here we are in a day where I do what I like to do. What I like to do is I like to sit around and watch TV, have a glass of scotch at the end of the night, and have bizarre thoughts run through my head. And then I will go, how old was Mo Howard when he died? And then I go on the internet and I was like, wow, Mo, born in 1895, died in 1977 or whatever it is. Oh, Shemp only made it to 55.
I know.
But Curly made it to 60. Like, and the next thing you know, I'm going to have all the ages of all the Three Stooges and what year they died. And then I have to start thinking about what they missed. They never saw the Challenger explode. They missed 9/11. They never had a cell phone, blah, blah, blah. So I have these just weird thoughts, but you thought the internet would sort of fix everything because it's all the answers. It'll settle every bet. It'll settle every bet. And I was sitting around last night and I was talking to my wife's friend and she said, can you believe this Matt Damon with his, you know, asinine statements about women and about rape and about everything else? And I said, I don't know. What's so asinine about saying there's a difference between, you know, Harvey Weinstein and Al Franken. I feel like that's a pretty accurate. But the way he said it, you just don't go there. And I said, well, okay, but what do you really mean the way? It was asinine. It's hard to debate. Look,
there is no debate right now.
On the butt, and there's a flat out rape. Like I see it. Okay, all right. But then the guy doubles back. Then he goes back. Then he puts his foot in his mouth because he doubles back and he says, "And how about the guys who are faithful? How about the guys who do employ women and never do any of that stuff? How about a little praise for those bosses who don't corner the hot new secretary and try to get a pay for play, whatever? How about a little love for them? I mean, can you believe that ass?" And I'm like, maybe how about a little something for that? I mean, what about? Maybe it's a little self-serving, but yeah, how about a little that a boy for those guys? Oh, my God. Can you believe what an ass he is? And I said, no, I'm not here to argue with you, but I mean, his first statement was sort of sensical. Yeah, there's a difference and there's degrees, and I sort of agree with that. And yeah, but then he doubles down. He doubles down and says, how about something for the dedicated father and husband of 29 years? How about a that-a-boy for that? I kind of agree with, well, if you're going to throw all these guys into, you know, a volcano, well, then a greeting card for the other guys who didn't engage in this behavior makes sense, sort of math. And she's like, oh my God, I can't believe it. Screw that guy. Right. I can't even believe we're talking about him. He's well, made such an ass of himself. Right. And I'm like, I don't know what he said. Like, I don't. Well, where are all the feelings coming from? And I agree with him.
And there is, I mean, the idea that you cannot verbalize an opinion and try to.
Well, that's the other part of it is that just shut up and stay out of it. Yeah, you don't know it. It's like, well, okay, but when Matt Damon's not my favorite guy, but whatever it is he said made nothing but sense to me. Almost logical sense, just sort of A
it
meets
is logical.
B meets C.
And by the way, the law distinguishes that.
Of course.
The law has, there's a misdemeanor sexual battery, which is different than a felony rape. And there is a statutory rape, which can be consensual, but we make judgments based on age. There are 290 registrations, sex offender registrations, which ideally are supposed to make distinctions, which they really don't, although there's a new law that just passed or is going to pass.
So all I'm really saying is I like this person. I agree with this person, but she's having a sort of feelings-based discussion with me. I don't have any feelings other than I've heard what he said, and I'm not bothered by it. As a matter of fact, it seems beyond reproach. How do you argue with what he said? It's like what he said sounded to me like you said, well, first you play Pop Warner football, then you go to high school, then you can get a scholarship and go to college, and if you're good enough, you can go to the pros. And I went, that's totally wrong.
Yeah.
I don't feel that's right.
Yeah.
And then you go, well, what would be your path to professional football? And you go, no, I don't know, but not that one.
But it's not that. It's certainly not that. You can't. No.
That's all I heard was things that made sense. Now, she doesn't like him or whatever, and that's fine. But we're really sliding pretty fast here if we're basing it on things other than facts.
There is a herd mentality that is taken over. I'll go back 15 years to the Peterson case, and it didn't matter. I've said this, if I've said it once, I've said it 100 times on this show. It did not matter when I would have the discussion, generally with professional white women, about Scott Peterson. No matter what I would say logically, it didn't matter. And I would sit there and have these, I could talk for hours on the subject, and it would always default to,
well,
I don't care about that.
Well, okay. So now this is the slippery slope of you knowing in your heart, or I feel, or my truth.
Yeah.
Famously, about 3 years ago, when we were walking to the car, nothing better than a before school argument, like a good morning AM argument, walking to the car argument, still first cup of coffee in your hand argument, where Natalia's explaining what's wrong with me and I'm following her out to the garage yelling what's not wrong with me. And she, at some point, she went, you know, you hurt my feelings. That's the way I feel. That's it. You know, apologize. And I said, I don't care that that's how you feel. That's not the truth. That's not what happened. And then Lynette chimed in and she said, that's the way she feels. If she feels that way, then she feels that way. Then you apologize. And I was explaining the dangers of her feeling this way if it wasn't my intent to make her feel that way, or if in fact I was misunderstood or misconstrued or wasn't understood. Now you got a person that just feels a certain way. You have a person that's who's now
empowering,
and now I'm forced to apologize. It's not helping this person to feel like a victim.
And by the way, it also invalidates your feelings because
what about my feeling?
What about your feeling? Because you realize, hey, this isn't my truth. What happened to my truth? By the way, you know, As a recovering sociology and anthropology major, we used to talk about this in terms of cultural relativism. And that was the, you know, they would teach you that, you know, everything was relative and that there was no absolutes and this, that, or the other thing. And at a certain point, that's a very difficult worldview to engage in because
what we have, I think, in this country, so if we're going worldview and we're really going macro on this, if you think about why you would not like to live in one of the countries that has like ISIS cells in it,
right,
or subscribes to a bizarre sort of devout religion, is because logic does not find, the seed can't find any purchase there. You know, right. Look, I'm a female. I want to drive an automobile. No.
No.
You know, I'd like to wear a bathing suit when it's hot outside by the pool. No. If my husband cheats on me, you can't throw acid in my face or kill me. That's not an honor killing or whatever. No, no, no. So if you take it to its furthest extreme, it's like you go back to witch hunts and crusades and all the stuff you don't want, all the stuff you evolve past.
Well,
you
think we have, but yeah, then there's a certain, apparently there is a certain need in the human psyche in certain societies at certain times, and I think it cuts across, for kind of this dogmatic approach that doesn't have to really be rationally based. It doesn't have to be, logic gets suspended at a certain point. And there, you look outside of yourself for something that is dogmatic that you're supposed to just acquiesce to. And that's disturbing. And as you say, every war, when you look at it, is based on that kind of thinking. I mean, there's, you know, both sides have that. That problem. I mean, one of the things I've also always found kind of interesting, and I was thinking about this the other day on international war crimes. And one of the reasons that that North Korea is never going to give up, willingly at least, their nuclear program is because, you know, people will talk about he doesn't want to become Muammar Gaddafi. He doesn't want to be, you know, if his regime falls, he's going to be the guy who gets anally raped by the broom by a bunch of people. And the winner, if you're a winner, you get to write history. If you're a loser, you end up like Muammar Gaddafi. And so there's right. there's a very kind of personal self-preservation aspect to all of this. But at the same time, as you said, you would hope at a certain point that we evolve past that. You would hope that there is a little bit of a thought. You know, who gets prosecuted for international war crimes? You don't get prosecuted until your regime topples, which is an argument I've had with Nick, who, a buddy of mine who's been of counsel to the firm, who does prosecute war crimes. And I said, why is it that we only prosecute war crimes of the guys who are no longer in power? What happened to, why are the guys who were in power not prosecuted for war crimes? Why is it only the guys whose regimes have failed that we then go and kick them?
Right, after they've killed millions of their own.
Of their own,
and
right?
Others. So speaking of that, or on the same topic. So we're talking about Google and how they fired James Damore. And this notion that you can fire somebody. He's the guy who penned a sort of manifesto. It wasn't even really a manifesto. It was just sort of...
It was a memo. The guy penned
a memo saying, here's why we don't have more female programmers or coders or whatever it is. Here's the difference between men and women. Again, we are living in a time that if you use logic as a basis, as a foundation of your argument, you're now a heretic.
Well, and what about, I don't know, this is the scariest thing to me. Mind you, people talk about this all the time. They don't understand you and I being so close, you and I sharing so many views when everybody assumes we're on opposite ends of the political spectrum. I said, no, I like thought. I like to engage in thought. And I want to hear things that I don't want to be in an echo chamber. I want to hear things that challenge my thought and challenge the brain.
Well, James put that out, and then he was fired.
Yeah.
And I said, that's got to be wrongful termination. That's
right?
Wrongful termination. I can fire a guy, but because he didn't steal anything as a view.
Right, because he had an opinion.
He has an attorney now, Harmeet Dhillon, who has been on the show before. She's on the line, too. Harmeet?
Yes, happy to be here, guys.
Harmeet. How are you?
Hey, Mark, I'm great. And let me start by saying both of you guys will get fired by Google in 5 minutes flat.
So I know.
You never get hired.
Harmeet, doesn't it crack you up, though, the kind of this I don't even know how what to call it. I'll let you talk about it because it's mind-boggling to me. It's you can't have any kind of a point of view that's outside of whatever the current thinking or zeitgeist is, right?
Yeah, and you know, I'll be honest with you. If I hadn't seen with my own two eyes some of the ludicrous messages and statements and, you know, gestalt going on at Google, I wouldn't believe it. And so when you look at our complaint, it actually has a number of interspersed screenshots of what's going on there at the company. And it's almost a parody of itself. And it's not just Google. This is going on throughout Silicon Valley, and it is forbidden to have a separate opinion. And frankly, if you do, like James, your coworkers threaten you with blackballing and blacklisting you throughout Silicon Valley. So it is wrongful termination. And California is unique in the United States in that it has special statute that protects employees from being fired or not being hired for their political speech. So that's the first of the three subclasses in our lawsuit. And then we have a separate class for race discrimination against Caucasians, and then a third class for discrimination against men because of Google's strict quotas.
Well, so a couple things. Yes, my opinion is Google has to be so drunk with power and in such an echo chamber to fire a guy because his opinion differed, because yeah. He dared to differ with your opinion. How don't they have attorneys? Aren't they aware of this?
But by the way, does Google understand, Harmeet? Isn't the irony delicious that Google allows you, by definition, to explore every possible kind of thought or thread? And here we the whole DNA of Google is to explore thought. Yet interior to Google is we repress thought.
Well, just like Hollywood, you know, guys, they don't see the absurdity of their own hypocrisy. And so,
right. Yes,
obviously they have this problem where their motto is don't be evil. And yet they then proceed to have this Orwellian grip on everybody's lives and then scrutinize it minutely and then punish people who fall outside the orthodoxy. It isn't even as if they were organized enough to fire him for having that thought. He actually sent his memo to HR twice in response to going to some of these indoctrination sessions about diversity, and they asked for feedback. He sent it in twice. They didn't say anything to him. They didn't say, oh, you're perpetuating gender stereotypes, James, stop it. How would the girls next door feel? They didn't say any of that. They fired him after some jerk leaked this thing to Gizmodo out of context and only parts of it. And then there was a firestorm of controversy by others outside the company and inside, and they basically henpecked him to death. They fired him within 48 hours of that. So that's the worst craven part of this. It's not as if they were upholding their own principles, even if you can call it that. It's that they blatantly caved into Twitter pressure.
What you mentioned the other lawsuits, which was the Caucasian one. So now this whole race has become a two-way street or a thousand-way street where you're now discriminating against Caucasians and discriminating against males now, because I'm guessing they have quotas, which they say they probably wouldn't call them quotas, just like the Burbank PD wouldn't say they had quotas. But I always say, then be a motorcycle cop for Burbank PD and don't write a ticket for a month and see what happens.
See what happens to you. Exactly.
Right.
Hey,
that's
Harmeet.
Right.
Harmeet,
yeah,
so this how many causes?
Lawsuit that has three subclasses,
right.
and one of them is gender and one of them is race. And they openly have these sessions where they will call out managers in company-wide meetings who don't have equal 50-50 men and women, and they'll boo them. I mean, it's that kind of group humiliation. It's crazy.
Wow. That is crazy.
UCLA, Cal and UCLA and some schools like this say they don't discriminate against Asian students, but then they have this quota, or they're like, we don't discriminate them, but we search for balance, and we want a balance to reflect the community, blah, 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 blah,
right.
Which then translates into we discriminate against Asians.
That's
this
right.
A lot of the same kind of thing?
It's not even, because they don't pretend like they're not doing this. They actually have stupidly, and you can see in the complaint, a number of admissions from managers that, you know, we don't have 50-50, and from now on, you know, we're going to sort of have a hiring freeze until we get enough women in here, hiring freeze, i.e. of internal transfers and so forth. And they have messed up in that regard, because it's illegal to have quotas like that. And, you know, these types of quotas are barring people who already work at Google from transferring into new departments and so forth. And I admire what they're doing. I mean, let's face it, I'm a woman, I'm a minority. It's good to give opportunities to people who've been underrepresented, but you can't do it by shortcuts. You can't do it by illegal quotas. You can't do it by publicly shaming, harassing, and sort of Lord of the Flies treatment of your employees. And you just can't get away with this. And to your point, Mark, about them being drunk on their $700 billion market cap, yeah, I think they are getting away with it, and they get away with a lot because of their market power. Everybody uses them, and they just sort of shrug and move on. And it's, I think we need to hold them accountable as lawyers.
Do the class is, do you have representatives for all three classes?
Well, James fits into all three classes. He's, perceived as a political conservative.
Okay.
He's a white guy. He's a man. So is the second class rep. But I made the point in my press conference today that actually if I had an Asian male, he'd be a fit class rep as well, because guess what? Asian men are also disfavored at Google because there are too many of them. So they want to get rid of that number of those people, and they want other types of minorities. So it's not, I mean, it's like Animal House. It's like sort of Animal Farm, rather, I should say. It's, you know, some are more equal than others. So, you know, if people come forward and approach me and tell me they're an Asian man or an Asian woman who's been discriminated against, Asian women, not so much because they're so desperate for women.
But, yeah, I was going to say Asian women could rise through the ranks there. But an Asian man, you're right. Intuitively, I would think that would be a spectacular class rep for you.
What we've done
if somebody comes forward, we'd love to see them.
We have destroyed language.
Right.
We've destroyed language because we say we want to give minorities. California is about half Hispanic. The minorities, Asians, about 4% or 7%
whatever it is,
Asian,
right?
Whatever. It's under 10% Asian. So as long as you're using the word minority correctly, then no more minority than Asian. You know, it's Asian, black, Hispanic, white's probably somewhere around Hispanic. But if you take the term called minority, which means less than a group that's lesser than, then that's minority. I love this new world order where we've just decided some people are minorities and some people aren't minorities, whether they're minorities or not.
You know, Harmeet,
one
more question for you. What has been the reaction since you've done the press conference?
Well, the reaction, predictably, from the left is LOL, white men are being discriminated against at Google, as if that's ridiculous. And frankly, you know, I did not believe it was that bad until I read the complaint, but I welcome both of you to read it. You will think it's a parody. You'll think it's from The Onion. It's so ridiculous. And Google has simply stated, as a responsible corporate response, we look forward to defending this case in court. The way Google and other big companies handle it, though, is very sophisticated. They, first of all, they have most of the media in their pocket for obvious reasons. And they'll have their media flunkies and they'll have their allies in tech come forward, and they'll have women come out with some sob stories. And this isn't to dismiss anybody's individual case of discrimination. And James's sin was to say, look, I think there is discrimination in this world. I just think that Google, you're being blind to all the real sources of it. And if you don't open your eyes and open yourself to other opportunities, you aren't going to be able to fix the problem. And please treat people as individuals, not as members of tribes. For that, he lost his job, he was publicly humiliated, and now he's bringing the suit.
Well, wow. We know you got to do a hit on TV, and it's in a matter of moments, so we're going to let you go, Harmeet. But we'd love to have you back on and keep us updated on the case.
Anytime, you guys. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Harmeet.
Take care.
Bye-bye. So before we go, let me talk about something, because I walked in here today, and once again, I got a Tommy John. This is like my favorite. It's like Christmas when I walk in here and I've got a Tommy John.
I got it, too.
Start the new year by upgrading your old uncomfortable underwear. Unparalleled comfort. innovative designs. The designs are really innovative. And patented fabrics. Never ride up. Waistband never rolls down. You never get a wedgie. The one I really like, Gary, is I told you before, those long ones.
The boxer briefs.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
I'm wearing them right now.
Socks that stay up all day. Second skin tees that are so soft. This is literally true. You won't believe it. And they've got a, Long John style top. It's one of my favorite shirts.
And bottoms, yeah.
Yeah, all backed by the best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. Tommy John, no adjustment needed. Right, Gary?
That is right. Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam to get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off TommyJohn.com/Adam.
Hey, do you know that Harmeet, by the way, this is one of the things that I just love about her. She was in an arranged marriage. Next time we have her on, we should talk about that. I think her first marriage, she was, she entered Dartmouth at 16 and then went to the University of Virginia, but then was entered, her family's put her into an arranged marriage with a Sikh physician. And so she really is kind of, she's got the most unique background in a lot of ways. And then she's up there in Northern California. She's in the hot bed of, Silicon Valley. And she takes these positions that just drive people crazy up there. You haven't ever seen anything like it. She literally is, the Darth Vader in certain places.
Well, the other thing that I always like is when you cease to become a minority. Now her heritage is what?
She's Sikh.
She's Sikh. All right. So she's female and she's Sikh. So right. She can check those two boxes. But then once she protects the guy with the right-wing views, she's no longer a minority.
Well, for people who aren't aware, Google her. One of the first images that comes up for Harmeet is she's wearing the thing at the Republican convention, giving the speech at the Republican convention.
Oh, that's right.
And that just, it breaks so many kind of these old-school stereotypes that you have that you just can't get your arms around her. And look, I bet you she's a former vice chair, if not chair of the Republican Party in California, which is a dying breed. And I probably disagree with her on God knows host of issues, but I could not have more respect for her as a lawyer and as a human being because she's spectacular. I mean, she gets it. She understands thought. She understands speech. She's the real thing, real deal.
Well, the thing that I have learned, or what's starting to come into focus for me is, coming up, it was a lot of, the jocks rule the school and the jocks are taking it out on the nerds. And every 80s movie was give that nerd a wedgie and throw him in his locker and this, that, and the other.
Or a swirly.
What's starting to dawn on me is the nerds are much more dangerous than the jocks.
Far and away. And we are in our own revenge of the nerds.
And now the nerds are taking over, and the nerds aren't putting up with anything. And the jocks can't have their own conversations or have their own opinions. You will be thrown out of Silicon Valley, be thrown out of Hollywood. The group that made the most noise about blacklisting is the group that makes the most noise about you not being able to work again if you disagree with them.
Yep.
And why there is no irony to that is insane to me.
I don't understand it at all. I don't get it. But there's a certain cannibalistic tendency and people don't see it. Don't step back and say that's ironic, or chuckle a little bit like you and I do when we see it or we poke fun at it.
Well, I mean, just this simple declaration of I am 100% in on free speech. I just won't tolerate hate speech, and I will decide what's hate speech
right. And
shut it down. Just the idea that those words are leaving your mouth and you're standing by them and you're not laughing and you don't have your fingers crossed behind your back and you think that that should be accepted with dignity and reverence. That's insane that you're that what is coming and you're a professor on a college campus or you're an attorney or you're educated and these things are coming out of your mouth.
I'll give you the because this is a case. Harmeet and I have talked off the air about this and kind of chuckle about it. She's filing the case for this guy who wrote the memo and who's, you know, the employer took action. The same people who are cheering this guy on are the same people who are tweeting at me that Colin Kaepernick should go down in flames. And they and you just say to yourself, dude, can you just step back for a second and realize just how absurd that is? Just remember, it's whose ox is getting gored, and stop with the blinders and just understand, no, it's speech, it's thought, it's what makes us humans. And it's sad.
I will say this, and we'll go out on a positive note that hopefully will be helpful, which is I always told you our neighbor and friend, Dennis Prager, has a lot of wisdom. And he was saying on his radio show the other day that he'd heard a story about a basketball team where one team won 100-0. And he said if he had it to decide for his kid, his son or his daughter, he'd rather them been on the zero team than the 100-point team, that they could get more out of that. And that was his stance, and he repeated it a few times. And then somebody called in, and they challenged him. And the person said, here's why I would like to have my son or daughter on the 100-point team and not the 0-point team. The 0-point team has to have a horrible coach. The practice, the work ethic has to be horrible. The practices have to be horrible. This guy could not solve this problem of not scoring in the first half and carried in the second half. Therefore, I would not want my kid on the 0 team. I'd want him on the well-coached, well-organized, and disciplined 100 team. And Dennis said, I never thought of it that way. I guess you're right.
Yeah.
And then we moved on.
Right. And I can get that. But you know what?
We should all be that way with everything.
Right.
That's
exactly.
How you learn.
Make an argument and then be open to the idea that you could be wrong and you don't have some infallible channel or pathway to the truth necessarily. Talk it out.
My feelings, my truth, everybody. All right, we'll do a slightly shorter episode today because of scheduling not permitting. I want to say
still the best 35 minutes or 36 minutes in the universe.
Basic Cable Commentary, that's me on stage, Irvine Improv, January 25th with Mike Oggs. We're doing Cobra, and then we have Oxnard Levity Live at 8 o'clock, March 15th. You go to Chassis, you go to Corolla Drinks, and say hi to Lynette. Mark, what do you got? We got Mistrial, voiced by Mike Dawson,
which we love.
Go to audible.com.
Very good. We've got Prova Pizza in Grand Central Station. We've got Tenny, Mediterranean Tapas Downtown, Casa Tropicana in San Clemente, which Gary loves.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Loves. So, until next time, Adam Kroll for Mark Garagus saying mahalo.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode. This is Corolla Digital.